Dwelling Place Church podcast.
Find the book of Joel. Find the book of Joel. J-O-E-L, chapter 2. Go to the index. Don't waste your time. Hey, I've been studying the Bible for almost 46 years, and I still have to go looking, right? You can always buy one of those cheater Bibles that has it, you know, in there, but that's not fair. Then when you're done finding Joel chapter 2, you want to mark Acts chapter 2. You're going to want to mark Acts chapter 2. Today I want to share with you what I believe is... Hey, Steve Ryan, would you go get those notes that you had? You took mine. We share everything. We're family. Shall we close in prayer, Father God? No, I have other notes. Oh. Awesome. I've been repeating these notes. Thank you, you guys. I've been repeating these notes because, and I want to make sure that I say the same thing every Sunday because, they studied and they've learned that until you hear something seven times, it's really not settled in your soul. This is four, okay? And when I make these comments, they're on that, you know, the podcasts are free, you know, you can get a CD, whatever the case is. But just let this sink into your spirit before we jump into the word this morning. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. And you know that in our vision and direction of the church, faith, we're people living in faith, empowered by love, and giving hope to people. And so faith is the substance of things hoped for. Say that with me. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So, and I've said to you week after week, that goes for any and every given situation in your life, in your life and in my life. And so I've said to you, when our opinion conflicts with God's opinion, we are forced to believe in our own opinion. Have you ever been wrong before? Has God ever been wrong? Point taken. So it's a spiritual stalemate for a believer to actually have an opinion that is contrary to the opinion of the Lord. God's opinion is his word, and his word is very, very clear. So it's a spiritual stalemate when we as believers declare we believe in the Lord, and we do, and we believe he died and rose again and we're born again, but when we don't agree with his word, which is his opinion, then we end up in a spiritual stalemate. And so I've said to you, the height of arrogance for the believer is to have an alternate opinion. The height of arrogance for the believer is to have an alternate opinion. The same is true in any situation where our opinion conflicts with God's opinion. Our opinion of ourselves reveals who we believe we are. And we believe who we are by whichever opinion we choose. If we choose our opinion, if you have your own opinion from God's opinion about who you are, then you are forced to believe not only your opinion, but what everybody tells you about you. Did that make sense? Okay, you understand that? Very, very important. So our life stalls when it fails to continue to walk in the fullness of the purposes of the principles of God. So I'll finish this in just a second here, but I want to drive it home again. God has never had a wrong opinion. Never. So if all that we do is believe his opinion, we are forced to succeed. You cannot fail when you embrace God's opinion and what he says in his word. And so say this with me out loud. I choose to believe the opinion of God's word about myself, my circumstances, and others. Give him a praise. Joel chapter 2 says this. I had you turn there, verse 28. It says in the King James on the screen, if you don't have your Bible, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Now, I want you to take notice of the order. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Now, let me give you a definition of those two key words in this verse, dreams and visions. The word dreams there, by definition, and I'm not giving an exact definition, but we're going to kind of paraphrase it here. It means made or placed in the mind. So in other words, when you have a dream, it's something that's placed in your mind or something created in your mind. You may have a dream of your own, or God has placed a dream in your heart about something. You have a dream of something. It's something that's been placed in your mind. The second word is vision. Vision means to actually see the dream realized, or God's purpose. So in other words, when we're reading this verse, it says, dream what has been placed in our mind, and visions is the seeing the realization of the dream. Does that make sense? Very, very important to understand this verse. Now, I want you to notice the order, because the old men dream first. The older generation dreams the dream, and the younger generation sees it come to pass. Amen. That's a merging of the generations together. That's why we've said to you for decades now, we're a multi-generational church. That's why we have people in their 90s, and we have children. That's why we are focused cross-pollinating the generations. So he says, old men dream dreams, young men get to see the realization of the dream. Now, look at Acts chapter 2, verse 17, where Luke is quoting that verse, and watch what it says. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith the Lord, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, say all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. In other words, the process, in order, it's been replaced. It's been shifted. And there's a reason for that. There's a purpose. The order is reversed for a reason. And I believe the Holy Spirit reversed it, because we know that it was the Holy Spirit that wrote through these folks who wrote the New Testament, Luke and Paul. And Paul wrote, you know, 2/3 of the New Testament. But it was the Holy Spirit inspiring them. And for some reason, he shifts the order, puts one before the other, and he's pointing out the importance of the generational connection. It is absolutely crucial that we learn to allow dreams and visions to flow amongst us, to be a part of who we are, to dream big and visualize the dream. And so it says, in the last days, young men will dream dreams and old men will see visions. And what happens is, the Holy Spirit is saying, in the last days, in the early days in the book of Joel in the Old Testament, there was a long distance between the dream and the vision. Often there was a long distance between the dream and the vision. Ask Moses. 40 years as a shepherd, right? Ask Abraham, decades waiting for the son. Okay, go through it. Noah, took him 120 years to build the ark. It was a long space, but now what the Holy Spirit says in the New Testament, under the new flow of the move of the presence of God and the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, under the work of the cross and through the work of the cross and the resurrection and redemption of God's people, that the process is sped up. See, and the process moves quickly, and it moves very swiftly. In other words, the time span between the dream that God places in your heart and in your spirit and the realization, the actualization, the fulfillment of what God has put in your heart. What is it you're dreaming? What is it you're counting on? What is it you're depending on? What is it you're looking to God for? What is it you're daring to dream for that somebody else is saying, oh, you're crazy, it'll never happen. It'll never happen. You'll never live long enough to see it. Oh, really? You go back to right here and you tell him, you better go back and read the New Testament, because the time span under the fullness of the Holy Ghost in the New Testament church, the span shrinks between them. And so in whatever it is you've been dreaming, whatever the prophetic word is that's been announced to you, whatever's been spoken over your heart, the time is going to shrink in these last days about the fulfillment of that time. So it's a shortening of the time between the two. Now, I want to say something to you about how this works in the scripture, because I've titled today's message, Etham and Migdol, E-T-H-A-M. And Migdol, M-I-G-D-O-L. It'll make sense here in a minute. In Psalms 105, verse 17, it says this. It's on the screen, verse 17. Did I give you all the way through 19, you guys? Okay, got it. Okay, so we're going to watch it on the screen. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. Now, this is a man who had a dream. You all remember what happened to Joseph? He had a dream. Y'all remember that? Those of you who are you're young in the scriptures, and Joseph had a dream. It was a dream from God that God was going to use him in an incredible way. He was going to have an enormous influence on people's lives, okay? Watch what it says. Whose feet they hurt with fetters, he was laid in iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord did what? Oh my goodness, tried him. In other words, he has a dream, and it's a dream from God that God's going to use him in an international way to influence the lives of people for the sake of the kingdom of God. And he embraces the dream. And if you remember the story of Joseph, we don't have time to deal with it this morning. We'll deal with it down the road. But Joseph goes and tells everybody about the dream. Hey, guess what? To all of his 11 brothers, guess what, guys? God's going to use me to be a ruler over you. And he's going to use me to be a ruler over you, and he's going to use me to bless you. Well, it was true. It just didn't go over well with the 11. Are you with me? And so we don't have the time for the story, but that's why in Psalms it says he ended up in chains and in fetters, because his brothers basically said, we know we're going to sell you to the Ishmaelites. You know, we're done with you. You know, if God's going to bless you, he's going to bless us through you at a distance. Okay, so go away, boy. And they sold him. And he went into slavery. And so he went through a chain of circumstances to prepare him. And we'll talk maybe more about this down the road. But he went through a chain of circumstances that eventually the dream came true. If you remember, he became number two under the Pharaoh of Egypt. He was the man that saved not only Egypt from blight, but he saved the nation of Israel and the future of God's purposes. The dream was fulfilled. It just took a long way to get there, but that's another message, okay? We'll deal with that one later, okay? So now, there are steps along the way for your dream, God's purpose in your life, to be fulfilled. And I want to deal with something this morning, because I want to deal with what God has spoken to the nation of Israel. Let me give you a classic example. God had spoken to the nation of Israel, and he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to use you to bless the world. I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you, and through you will the nations of the earth be blessed. They had an incredible promise. But then they end up in Egypt. And they end up in Egypt, and they end up in slavery and bondage. And they're kind of going, excuse me, I thought we had a promise we were going to bless the world. Oh, yeah, you're going to. And so they ended up in bondage and slavery to Egypt. And they were building, actually, Egypt for the Egyptians. And you all know, pretty much know the story. And they were in Egypt for 400 years. And finally, God raises up Moses. He spends his 40 years as a shepherd in the wilderness. He shows up. And remember, he says to Pharaoh, let God's people go. Let God's 10 times. Finally, Pharaoh lets them go. Now, what happens is when they leave Egypt with all the booty, all the gold, all the silver, they got it all. They are laden down. Camels, donkeys, you know, goats, sheep. They got gold, silver. They got the booty of Egypt, because the Egyptians just wanted them to go away, wanted the plagues to end. So they take out across the desert, you know that, and they go down into the Sinai Peninsula. Now, you know, if you looked at a map, we don't have time to do this morning, but they were in Egypt. Israel's right here where they're supposed to be, and you would think God would take them out of Egypt and go right here. God says, no, hang a hard right and go down here. And they get down here at the Red Sea. And what happens is when they break out and they start out on their journey, word gets back to them that Pharaoh has suddenly changed his mind and said, you know what? I'm going to take my stuff back. I'm going to kill all those Israelis, and I'm going to take all of our stuff back. And he sends this enormous army, including himself, out after the nation of Israel. And they've traveled down into the Sinai Peninsula. And what happens is, it says they end up in the Sinai Peninsula, and they end up in a place, matter of fact, the book of Numbers tells us that they end up in a place between Etham, E-T-H-A-M, and Migdol, M-I-G-D-O-L. You can look up in your concordance later. And they end up in this place. And what it ends, and I'll show you some pictures here to reveal it to you, but they end up, now Etham represents the place behind you that you can't go to. There's no way back. There was no way back for them because here comes the army and their enemy. And they're at the edge of the Red Sea, water in front of them, and they're at Migdol. That's no way forward. And they're in a place where you can't go back and in a place where you can't go forward. Got the picture? Very important. And so now they have the Red Sea in front of us. They have the armies of the Pharaoh coming after them. They can't get any place and can't do anything. Now get the picture now. They have the Red Sea in front of them, and it's a channel of water that is 18 miles wide at that point. Now, if you know anything about, those of you who are a pilot know anything about horizon, 18 miles exceeds the horizon of your viewpoint and the circumference of the earth. In other words, if you're standing at the beach and you look out, hang on a minute, you guys. If you look at the beach and you look out across the water at the beach, you can't see 18 miles. If there's a boat 17 miles in front of you, you can't see it. In other words, they're in a place where they can't go back and they can't go forward and they can't see anything in front of them. They have no view. They have no vision. They have nothing to hang it on. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you can't go back and you can't go forward and you can't see anything? You have nothing to look at, nothing to say, well, okay, I'm going to hang my thoughts on this. There's no view. Now, I'll show you the picture here. First picture, please. All right, now here they are. Up on this side, you can see Egypt. What they've done is they've traveled down here to that 18-mile stretch on the right, and that's an 18-mile stretch of water, okay? Get your geographical bearings, all right? Next picture, geographical bearings. This is to give you an idea. Okay, now this is a closer view. See that from the left, your right, I guess it would be your left, fourth arrow. See that white spot right along the edge of the beach? See the other spot? That's where they're going. See that distance? That's 18 miles. They can't see that. They can't see that. Got the picture geographically? Say yes, help me out. Okay, now here's the campsite. See that little white spot? Next picture, please. Okay, here's that little white spot. Now see right here, you can see an entrance where they've come through the cleft in the rocks and the mountains. This is the version of Migdol. There's no way going backwards because here comes Pharaoh, and there's no way forward because there's nothing but 18 miles of water, okay? Got that picture. Campsite number two, watch this. Now that would be just an idea. Now that, obviously this is an artist rendering, obviously it's not an aerial photograph. Okay, all right, so you get the picture. 2 million people on that beach. Got the idea? You got like 2 million people on that beach looking at the water. Now here's what happens. The traditional image of Moses parting the water looks like this usually, right? You got that, isn't that what it is? It's like, okay, there's this highway. I got out my calculator and figured out if you were gonna push 2 million people through a gap that wide, everybody traveling at basically 3 miles an hour, women, children, goats, sheep, na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na, everything, it would take you 2 months to get 2 million people through there 24 hours a day. Didn't happen. It happened in one night. How? When God opened it up, he opened it up big. Let me tell you something. You may be right now in your life, be between Migdol and Etham, but I'm telling you, when God opens up, he's going to open it up big. He's going to open it up big. Now, here's what's interesting. Just as a footnote, they've actually discovered, they've actually, at this site, sent divers down, and they've actually discovered this. That's a view of, I forgot that one. Sorry, media, that's my fault. That's a view of getting an idea how big the crowd is. Next picture. Next, please. Keep going. Come on, media. Keep going. Okay, watch. There's a chariot wheel in the bottom of the Red Sea at that location. How did that chariot wheel get there? Let me see. Next picture, please. Here's one standing upright on its side. How did the chariot wheel get at that place? Because the Bible tells us once Israel crossed over, okay, God had opened up the route. Remember the story? Then once Pharaoh gets midway across, God says, let's close the water. That's how you get chariot wheels at the bottom. Let me tell you something. The Bible you read is not only a book of history, it's a book of fact. It's a book of fact. You can count on what the scripture says. So understand this, that God has said to take a stand here and I'm going to get everything right with your enemies first. Let me tell you something. Sometimes when you're between Migdol and Etham, it's when God says, just stay here for a moment. Would you just stay right here because I'm going to deal with your enemies. I'm going to deal with your enemies. But you got to stay here and you got to stop trying to look for another way out. You got to stop trying to look for a way out of the situation. And you got to start thinking, God, what do you want me to do through this situation? What is your plan? What is your purpose? Because I know you have a dream for my life and you're going to turn it into a vision. Okay? And you get that mentality, in you, and you lose the loser mentality. You lose the defeatist mentality. You've got those little voices speaking to you and tell you, you're not going to make it, you're not going to survive, you're not going to get through this, it's never going to happen, you're never going to live long enough to see the conclusion of this issue. You got to remember whose voice that is. That's the voice of the enemy. That's the voice of the enemy. You got to remember, you got to get this in your mind. Whoa, wait a minute. I'm between Migdol and Etham. Oh, now what that means now, devil, listen to me. You're sending those fiery darts at me and you tell me I'm not going to make it financially. You're telling me the house is going to be foreclosed on. You're telling me they're going to repossess the car. You're telling me that my children are not going to serve you. You're telling me all this junk. Let me tell you something. I'm between Etham and Migdol, and that's when God deals with you. Whoa, man, I'll tell you what. Something changes in your spirit. Something changes in your heart. The promise is on its way, but you must take a stand for the fulfillment of that promise to see what it is. The size of the vision is greater than the dream. Understand, no matter how big your dream is, God's answer to that dream is way bigger. It's way bigger. You're thinking, man, I don't know. I can't hardly believe I'm going to actually fulfill the dream that I have. Well, let me tell you something. God's going to blow you away when he shows you what the real answer to that dream is. It's something bigger than you ever could dream in your own mind because it's exceedingly abundantly above anything you or I can ask or imagine. He wants to do something special in you. He's going to do that, but you have to be willing. And so Joseph, remember we talked about Joseph and the size of the dream in him? God's purpose for you, God's purpose for us, God's purpose for us as a body of people. Remember, Isaiah says this, 43:19, behold, listen to what the Lord says, behold, everybody say behold, I will do a new thing. Lord says, I'm going to do a new thing. How many of you want a new thing? Then you better stay between Migdol and Etham and stop trying to get out of it. Because the bigger thing, the greater thing's on its way. Listen to what he said. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Oh my goodness. Now let me show it to you in the New Living Translation. Watch it. He says, for I am about to do something new. Something so big you can't even dream of it. It's so beyond your ability to understand. See, I've already begun. In other words, he's in the process. You say, well, Lord, when are you going to do something? He's doing something. While you're between Migdol and Ethan, he's not bored. He's busy. You may be bored. You think he's not working, but he says, I'm working. I have already begun. Do you not see it? Won't you see it? Won't you understand it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in a dry wasteland. God can take a desert and turn it into rivers. He can lower mountains, raise valleys, make a highway for you, make a process for you to get through whatever it is you're faced with. You just have to remember that God stays in charge of the circumstances. And no matter what happens to your mind, no matter what is said to you by people or by voices that you hear, to understand, to stay in that place and have hope that God is bringing something to pass in your life. In the place between Ethan and Migdol, and there's no way back, and there's no way forward, where God's opinion of your circumstances become your opinion. You stop forming your opinion about how your situation is going to go. You stop thinking anything God's word doesn't think about you, your situation, or your circumstance. And when somebody says to you, it isn't going to work, it isn't going to happen, you don't have to respond to them in some ugly way. You don't have to say to them, well, I just don't receive that. Just don't receive it. That's all you have to do. I just don't receive it. When somebody says something about your situation, you ain't going to make it. It's going to be like BBs against a tank. It isn't going to make a bit of difference because you've set your word and your life on God's opinion. And God has never, ever had a wrong opinion about you. Go on, give him a praise. Your opinion of God's opinion of your circumstances. Your opinion of God's opinion of your circumstances become one against all odds. Everything in your situation seems to drag you down. We all deal with it. Everybody deals with it. I mean, come on. Nation of Israel is there between Migdol and Etham and Migdol, and they're looking at the Red Sea, and you know, it's late in the afternoon, and they all get down across the path and they get down to the beach and everybody crowds out on the beach and, you know, everybody's going, now what? We can see the dust of Pharaoh's armies, chariots coming. What are we going to do now? Come on, Moses. You got us here. You got it. You know, what do you think Moses did? Do you think he slept that night? How many of you think that was a Xanax night? Or a Prozac, huh? How many people that night really slept? The armies of Pharaoh are hot on their heels and there's no place to go. But then at a point, Moses steps up to the edge of the water and I think he went in. Doesn't say he did. I think he went in. And he held his staff up. And the wind started. Maybe it's sundown. All night the wind's blowing. Because remember, it says the wind is what parted the waters. Do you understand how wide that wind and how loud that wind has to be? You know what? It's the wind of adversity in your mind, but it's really the wind of victory. That when the enemy's blowing in your mind and he's telling you, yada da 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 da, this is the way the situation's gonna go, he's panicked. He's panicked because he knows what's about to happen. God's about to kick his tail and his blessed assurance around the block in your behalf because you took a stand for the truth of God's word. Whatever your situation, whatever your circumstance is, what is God's opinion and whose report will you believe? If you will believe God's report for you, you will do more than succeed because success in man's term is that we accomplish the vision we started with. Victory in God's term is that you accomplish the purpose that's bigger than the vision or the dream that you originally had. God has something incredible in store for you. You've had voices say to you, oh, you're just normal. You're just, you know, you're normal, you're average. Well, good. Because God starts with normal and average to make something exceedingly abundantly above anything you can ask or imagine. What are you faced with? What are you dealing with? What's your circumstance? And I'll finish with this morning. And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I in the midst of, dealing with Susan's situation, recovering from her surgery, and you know, she says hi and she's doing well, and it's going to take her a couple of weeks because she had 10 hours of surgery, so it's going to be a long time before she gets over this, you know. I mean, not over the whole situation, but she'll be back. She'll be back here and she'll be dancing up here with all of us, okay? But in the midst of this situation, something began to stir in me last week. We went back to the hospital, you know, for another checkup and view the surgery and that kind of stuff. And while we were in there, something hit me, and I'm going to do my best. I'm not trying to exaggerate. I didn't have a visitation. I didn't hear the voice of God in some audible form. But something began to stir inside my spirit while we were sitting there. And I looked around at all these people. You're in Loma Linda University, and there's nobody there that doesn't have something absolutely incredibly difficult going on. And I just, it's doing it right now. And I told Susan this morning, I said, there's a stirring. And I said, baby, it wasn't though you took your egg beater, you know, and you shoved it down into something and you like whipped it up real fast. It was just a slow, methodical stirring. And it was a slow, methodical stirring in something that was very stiff and very sedentary. And it began to loosen up. And I tell you before God, I believe with every bone in my body, if you're between Etham and Migdol, God has something for you this morning. It's an impartation. And it's not about a person. It's about Jesus. It's about the power of the Holy Ghost and the love of the Father. If you're between Etham and Migdol in any given situation in your life, I believe the Spirit of God has spoken in my heart, and I'm just going to do what he says. This may be new to you and odd to you, you're a visitor, but I believe I'm supposed to lay hands on every one of you. I believe that. And I told Susan this morning, I said, baby, I know that when you come out of this, God has taken us into a new level of the release of the healing, body, soul, and spirit. We're not just talking about physical healing. Healing of the mind, healing of the heart, healing of the spirit. But it means that you have to be willing to plant yourself, plant your feet in a situation and say, I am ready to yield to the purposes of God, because God's ultimate purpose for me is greater than anything I've dreamed. But I'm going to have to take a stand and hold on right here where I'm at. If you are personally between Etham and Migdol, and I'm asking you, if you just want a touch from God, let's do that second. I'll do that. I'll stay here until every person, we'll pray for every person. But I'm asking you right now, for those of you that are between Etham and Migdol, if you are ready to take a stand and say, I'm believing God's opinion about my situation, I will not believe anything less, come put your toes on the line. Toes on the line. Holy sweet Jesus. Hey, Suzanne, would you bring me that bottle of water? You can just toss it. Thanks. We'll wait till everybody's here. Where's Pastor Eddie? Some ushers to follow me. here's what we're going to do. If for those of you, I don't know how long we're going to be here, but we'll be here as long as it takes. If you're ready for God to shift something, then you have to turn your clock off. Turn your watch off. It's not about time right now. It's about getting what God wants. Okay? When we do this, I need to give you, I'm gonna release the body here in a second. I'm gonna release those of you. So if you feel that you need to go, you're more than welcome to go. If you'd like, I'd welcome you to stay and pray. Intercede. Because something's going to change. Things are going to shift right now in people's hearts. But I want to give you a fair warning. Fair warning is, in the natural, I had a mega dose of garlic last night. So just smile at me, and if you go down, I hope it's God.